God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this first Sunday, last Sunday of Easter for us, the seventh Sunday of Easter, which, by the way, follows Ascension Day, which was last week, in case you missed it, we find ourselves moving back to just prior to Jesus and his disciples heading over to the garden to pray prior to his arrest. Jesus has been teaching his disciples, as we've heard in the gospel according to John, and now we have reached a place where he is praying for them. And his prayer is one that is rather interesting, and one we should probably listen to if we take seriously the timing of it. Jesus, as we heard earlier, is getting ready to go to the cross. And he knows this. His disciples are unsure. He keeps saying things that are making them very nervous. And he's praying for them before they actually head out to pray. And he says this. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given." And this is eternal life. He answers a question for us, doesn't he? One that we've thought about it, obviously, eternal life. But somewhere along the way, eternal life became this concept of we're just going to go to heaven, and there will be all these wonderful things there for us. And Jesus is making it pretty clear in this prayer, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Everything beyond that is just beyond that. This is the thing, to come to know God, to be in relationship with God. That is the whole concept, brothers and sisters. This is what we have always spoken of, although I think in our minds, we try to make it something more. But what more could there really be than to have a relationship with the one true God? A relationship that is possible through Jesus Christ. This reconciliation to God is really the whole process that we're in. We're broken and sinful in a broken and sinful world. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, has entered in for the sole purpose of reconciling God's people to himself, to God, so that we can be living alongside for eternity our Creator. What more could we want? I suspect we could think of a lot of worldly things we'd like to add to that. But there's really nothing more, and yet nothing greater than this opportunity that we have. So we should listen closely to how Jesus begins this prayer. We, a people who will often want to know, what were their last words? Well, these are some of Jesus' last words. This is his desire for those who are following him, that they would know the one true God. And as we go forward, he says, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given me is from you." Something has changed in Jesus' understanding of what his disciples understand. He now, in his prayer, is revealing that his disciples have comprehended something about him. They have discovered that this Jesus is the one that the prophets said would come. The one who would come to reconcile all of God's people to God. The strange thing, as we all well know, in this season of Easter, and most especially through Holy Week, Jesus didn't come in the fashion people wanted him to come. He did, however, come and do exactly what the prophet said the Messiah would do. He paid the price so that we could be reconciled to God, that we would be free to live as those who know God, although society really wanted a warrior. They wanted someone who would free them from oppression and the control of Rome specifically. They didn't get that, did they? But they got something more. And so did we. In a world where you know who your king is, nothing else matters. If you know Jesus, then you know God. And if you are a follower of Jesus and you belong to God, God is with you. In fact, God is in you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. They believe Jesus to be Messiah. We have heard these words too. We have struggled through our days and through our lives, and we have heard over and over these promises of God. And then the question always comes down to, do we believe it to be truth? See, Jesus came for this purpose, to be the tool that will reconcile God's people to God. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came so that we could be one with God. And that opportunity is still here for us today. But are we still looking for something different? Or can we hear the truth that is being spoken and being prayed out today by Jesus himself? And I think it's difficult because it is maybe too wonderful for us to believe. In a world where some things come before you and you say, well, I see that. Yeah, I see that convertible BMW on Craigslist for $2,500, but that seems too good to be true. Well, brothers and sisters, that is. That's somebody fishing for information from you. The reality is this. We see good deals all the time, and our first instinct is to say, okay, but what's the hidden cost? That's actually a term, isn't it? What's the hidden cost? And I would say to you, maybe we've become a little cynical due to the fact that we live in this broken, sinful world. And I would say, don't project that onto your God. The promises made by God through the voice of the prophets of a coming Messiah is truth. The disciples on this day, as Jesus is praying, is revealed that his disciples there with him have figured this out. Jesus came to point people back to God, not just to look at, but to be in relationship with, to accept this fullness of oneness, so to speak, that is spoken of at the end of this very prayer in this passage, not the end of the prayer, but the concept is vast, and it sounds too good to be true. But the disciples this day, from what Jesus is saying, Jesus knows they know it is true. They know that Jesus is the Messiah. They didn't fully understand everything else that was going to come. They didn't know what was next, but they did know this, Jesus, the Messiah. We don't need to know what comes next. We don't need to know what this life is going to do to us next. We don't need to know to what day we will end this journey in this world and move on to be in eternity in relationship with God. We don't need to know that. And how it's going to happen, we don't know what it's going to look like, and the timing isn't ours. But do we know? Have we heard these words and know in truth that Jesus came from God? And do we believe that he was sent for the sole purpose of gathering us to God? The question we must ask ourselves. If you were here, I'd probably ask you to raise your hand. Do you know this? And of course, you know, if I ever ask you to raise your hand and to agree with me on something, it's probably because I'm going to give you something to do. Brothers and sisters, I am. Because I know some of you are sitting at home and you just raised your hands and now you're going, oh no, well, he didn't see me, so it's okay. But you know what I know? I know you want to. I know you want to do the things that God's called you to do. And I know that in this time that we're currently in, it seems like probably it's hindered a little bit. I think it's true for all of us. We feel like maybe we can't fully do all the things that God's called us to do. Unless you're a planner or a technology person, yeah, your ministry has exploded. The rest of us are kind of wondering yet, how do we do it? And what do we do? Get to the basic. Jesus came to be sure that people would know he was the Messiah to reconcile them with God through his very body and blood. Those who follow, our job is to point to Jesus. That's what we do. How do we do it? We do it in the way in which we live, the way in which we love and care for others, the way in which we speak, and the way in which we stand boldly on the truth of having heard the words and knowing that they're true. Nothing more. Point to Jesus. That's our call. He will handle the rest. As I've told you numerous times, we are in marketing, not sales. See, when you're in sales, you close the deal. In marketing, you just show everyone what a wonderful product is available to them. It's a deal that sounds too good to be true, yet it's true. Jesus is the Messiah, and he has been glorified. He's been glorified through his disciples because they have recognized him as Messiah. We can glorify God by continuing to do the very same thing, to believe and to know, so that God will be glorified and others who do not yet know can see and understand that Jesus is Messiah and they too will be reconciled to God. Here's the struggle. Apparently, it's not that easy. Even in the midst of this prayer, Jesus says this, I am asking on their behalf, but not on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Protect them, it says. Now, when we hear protect, we sense danger. We have to be protected from danger. And you know, it comes in so many forms when you're going to the world to point to Jesus. We may think someone's going to come and attack us, and they might. We may think that because of our words, we will be pushed aside from our group of friends or others that we know, or perhaps even family, and you might be. But there's other things we need to be protected from, and quite frankly, the majority of the time, the thing we need the most protection from is ourselves. We see the opportunities, we are aware of the opportunities, we have heard the word and we know the truth and we see exactly where it needs to be applied and we go, oh, maybe it's not my business. And we hold back. Now I know some of you raised your hands. Don't hold back. Don't hold back the truth from the Word of God that tells us that this Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has taken every step necessary for us to be reconciled to the one true God, our Creator. Nothing else matters. That's number one. Everything else falls in line behind it. It won't be easy. But let's hear this prayer as disciples of Jesus and know that He is being glorified, and therefore the Father is glorified, and therefore we too will be glorified in Him, and we will be one as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. We too are one with them. And therefore we can be one with one another. Doesn't matter race, color, creed, denomination, none of it should keep us from being one with one another. We're safe. Jesus Himself has prayed a prayer of protection over us so that God will be glorified. Go and glorify Him with your life. Amen.